Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people, try to take away their rights, but we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. Won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Yes, we most certainly do love our land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglians EDL Radio Show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. East Anglians EDL Radio Show, the official voice of the EDL. And tonight we've got our very own Cat Strangler 101, who's been my co-host this evening. And I'm going to bring him in right now. So good evening, Tim. Good to see you this evening.
Yes, good evening, Jeff. And how the devil are you, sir?
So so-so. Mustn't complain, because when you grumble, people don't listen, do they? So,
oh, so stoic. If I asked you that question, you just had your leg sawn off, you'd say, oh, so-so, mustn't grumble.
Nothing a bandage won't sort out.
Yeah, that's right. Couple of painkillers, I'll keep going. Don't you worry about me.
Almost Monty Python, isn't it?
Yeah.
But good to see. Good to hear from you this evening, Tim. Yeah, I've been quite busy today with different things, and really, truthfully, I left it at the very last moment to open the chat room this evening. I was doing a few things, and I was just getting out of the bath. And I didn't realise it, didn't know. I totally forgot. You know, I normally like to open the chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody knows, and normally I have the chat room open from about 8 o'clock, but tonight I really pushed it to about 10 minutes before the show. So, but these things happen sometimes, you know, when you, all of a sudden you're having a nice soak, aren't you, Tim, and you... you're drifting away to the music and...
Yeah, that's right. My next job is to waterproof my laptop so I don't have to get out of the bath when I'm coming to do the UDS. You know?
Why not?
That's
a good idea, Tim.
At the same time, you know. So yeah,
I guarantee that there's someone working on something like that right now, probably, or they've got it invented.
You know, so. I'm sure there's a market for it, you know. And talking of a market for new inventions, I was reminded today about the fact that sometimes when you're on Blog Talk Radio and one person's talking and another one wants to jump in and then finds it a bit difficult, what you really need is an internet-controlled cattle prod that's controlled by the co-hosts on the show. What happens is the person who's speaking stops speaking and just writhes on the floor in agony, and everybody else thinks that they've given up the microphone graciously so that somebody else can get a word in. And I thought, what a brilliant idea. So I'm going to speak to John C. Sweet, who apparently runs Blog Talk Radio, to see if he can develop something along those lines, because I feel sure there's a market. And I know one or two people...
I would say that may be a little bit too extreme for Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it'll only be a low-voltage cattle prod, don't you worry. Nothing like your 900,000-volt taser that you were talking about the other day. Or
that's
maybe, you
amazing,
know...
Amazing, wasn't
not,
it?
Just
we started off the show... a very extraordinary way this evening, and we most certainly have. Also, I've noticed we have our co-host this evening as well. Is Mr. Tommy English. He's just slipped in through the door, or through the cat flap, shall we say.
The cat flap. Yep.
I'm stuck, help me.
Welcome, Tommy. Good to see you this evening. Or good to hear from you this evening. Can't see you because it's radio.
Blog talk television.
Yes, you know what, that might be in the near future, might need something like that. So,
technology marches on.
I would like to say that at last I've made a start on the electronic cigarette.
It's taking
some getting used to, I'll tell you that.
I mean to say myself and Kel. You know, Kel started, you know, the Red Fox blogger, she started the same time as I started, which was over a year ago now, Tom. Do you know that? That was a year since I was poorly, and it was, as I say, and that was the time I had to make a life-changing thing And that's what I did. I gave up smoking and I started with the electronic cigarettes, and I haven't really looked back. Yes, now and again I might have an occasional cigarette, but, you know, it doesn't bother me like it was, you know, back over a year ago where I needed a roll-up, and that was it. I mean, you know me.
Well, but, I've got it now, guys. Here you go. Have a listen to this. I don't have to be able to hear it, though.
Oh, it makes a noise, does it? Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, an automatic cough as well. That's really clever. It sounded exactly like you, Tommy.
Well, that's why it's taking some getting used to.
Yeah, electronic cigarettes with used to,
but it's a better way, Tommy. I've got to, you know, to our listeners out there, who's really seriously thinking of giving it a try, these electronic cigarettes. Well, I've been using one for over a year, I've got to admit. I feel much better in myself because, as I say, smoking was really damaging me because I got emphysema, so I had to do something. And electronic cigarettes, I would say, because you're not putting the chemicals that you was putting in when you smoked tobacco, and that was the point, you know, the reason why I thought it was so good, because it still, you know, refreshes the habit I had, because I've got something I hold in my hand, and when I inhale it, it's got the same feel about it, except sometimes it might be a little bit different from normal cigarettes. But I would say to anybody who's really seriously thinking about giving up smoking, electronic cigarettes is the way to go. If you get the right product, and I'm not going to advertise because this isn't, we do not do that, but if you get the right product, you won't look
back.
If
you want to start smoking, and start smoking now. The thing is, though, guys, look at it this way. If it does kick off in this country, you can't charge into an NMEL position if you're coughing and sputtering.
Yeah, very true.
Very true. I take it, Tim, that you I don't know. I just get a feeling, and as I say, I don't know you, you know, personally, but I got a feeling that you do not smoke. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, Jeff, they don't call you Sherlock Mitchell for nothing, do they?
Do they?
Sherlock Mitchell.
Yeah, that's right. I knew it when I saw that picture of you in the Deerstalker. I knew it.
No, that's Glenn Saffer. That weren't me. That was Glenn. He's got one of those.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I don't smoke. I did once give it a try when I was 14 because you know what it's like with peer pressure at that age, and a lot of my friends smoked, and I thought, I'm going to give this a try. So I went into the local tobacconists and pretended I was a lot older. Well, I say I pretended. No, all right. I nicked a packet of cigarettes from the tobacconist while his back was turned, and I thought,
oh, dear.
Well, I know.
Such an early age.
So anyway, I tried these. I got this packet of cigarettes, and I smoked the first one, and it was horrible. And I thought, well, I very nearly spent money on the rest of that packet, so I'm damn well going to smoke. And I bought me my packet of 10, phase number 6 was. I remember it distinctly.
Number 6. Oh, my goodness me. That takes me back a while.
By the time I'd got to the last cigarette in the packet, I was so cheesed off with the whole concept of smoking. I never smoked another cigarette from that day to this. So,
well,
there you go. Shoplifting.
I don't know. I just said that. But you know the reason why I say that? Because most people who smoke, they've got a slight little bit of a wheeze. You know, it's where the lungs is probably not working as what they should be. I just had that feeling that you didn't smoke because I don't hear any sort of a thing in your voice at all, Tim, you know, which give me that impression. So, yes, my perception
is
right.
Also, guys, look at it this way. Stopping smoking improves your sex life.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, that's an individual individual thing, isn't it, though, Tom?
I mean, they say the hardest thing is it's not the mental aspect, it's the physical aspect, because you're used to putting, you know, picking one up and putting it in your mouth and lighting it up. So that's why you see a lot of people quit smoking and do it with a pen. you know, because they're used to that motion for so many years.
Yeah, I
think it's, you know, this is it. It's a substitute. That's what you're saying, Tom, that sometimes people, you'd use a dish of pen to pretend that they were smoking. But at least now they've got electronic cigarettes, which you get the same. And if you've got the right strength, it tastes just like what you used to have, but without the symptoms. Well, you know, look what happened to me with emphysema. That was a smoking-related illness, and, you know, that's it. I've got to live with it all my life, and even though I've given up smoking, I know that my health is not going to really improve. But you know, as I say to anybody, if you've got a chance to give up smoking, don't be like myself, because if you get this smoke-related illness, it's not a very pleasant thing to have, you know. So that's from an old hand like me. For anybody who's thinking about giving up smoking and not too sure, do it, you know, for your health and for the future for yourself. So there you go. Yeah, that's a good bit of a public health warning to our our listeners. It's a little bit different, isn't it, guys?
Well, it is. I think there's nothing better than starting off an episode of the EDL radio show with a health warning to all our listeners.
Yeah, there is another illness going around. It seems to be quite common these days. It's an illness called Islam, and about a quarter of the population have it already.
Islamophobia.
Well, no, I mean, I have seen a couple of arguments that you could almost, in some respects, describe being infected with Islam as having a mental illness. I'm not sure that it's an intellectual argument I'd particularly want to draw on, but it is an argument that I've seen, and in more than one place by supposedly respected writers. But I'd prefer to think of it as we all do, as an ideology which is capable of being defeated. A lot of people will say, well, Islam's here to stay and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, I beg to differ. And every time we have one of these shows and we make even one person just think a little bit harder about what Islam is about and what it really means for the country and what we can do to turn the tide back little by little, then I consider we're on the path to success. So there we go.
Yes.
Have we got any particular subjects tonight that our listeners would like to bring to our attention? And
well, we've got Wakefield tomorrow.
Okay, Wakefield. Yeah. Have we got anybody of note apart from yourself, Tommy, of course, who's speaking?
Oh, I'm not speaking tomorrow. I think it's I think it's just Gail and Maya are speaking tomorrow. I don't know. But I don't know if the details being published yet. I'll see if I can find them, actually.
Yeah, please do, Tom, you know, for our listeners, because, you know, everybody likes to keep up to speed.
Okay, I've got two pages. Gail and Wakefield,
you're breaking,
I can't remember.
Man.
Oh, you're breaking up a little, Tommy.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's a bit better. Yeah. No. If you can, you know, because as I say, our listeners like to keep up to speed on different demonstrations that's you know, that's happening over the weekend and that, Tom, and that's what we normally do, is keep everybody up to speed and. Wish everybody a successful demonstration, which I know it will be. So, enjoy the day. It's all say, go in as one, come out as one. You know, make your point. And that's all it is. It's raising awareness, doing what we've done for quite a few years now. So there you go. So I suppose you're setting off quite early,
Tom. Yeah, I have found it. It's the Wakey Tavern from 10:30 till 12. If you hear me, okay.
Yeah, we heard that.
Yeah, and I'll be up at 5.
You'll be up by 5:30, yeah? Is it very far from you, Wakefield, then, Tom?
Well, we've got some picking up to do, so I think I don't know what time we're actually leaving Yeah. I know we're going to Doncaster first.
Yeah. Yeah, normally you will send it up at Doncaster before you head off to wherever, isn't it, Tom?
Well, we always go to see John.
Yes.
Because John gives us some pamphlets to hand out.
Hmm.
Also, I think we're picking Carl up as well from station, so I think that'll be, all be found out tomorrow. But no, Wakefield's not far. We're looking about an hour in the car, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that's not too bad then, is it, Tom? It's not like, you know, the other side of the country, and so it's you know, it's a good round trip then, isn't it, really? Sort of.
Yeah, it's on my side of Leeds, it's on the east side of Leeds, so it's not that far away.
No. Oh, well, that's good then. As I say, must excuse me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just in case. Crikey, how about that? I'll tell you what, there's at least one person in the chat room who's on the same wavelength as me tonight. I was just copying and pasting an article into the chat room on the British school children, just up the road from me, actually, in Huntington,
yeah,
in Staffordshire. And I've posted an article, and lo and behold, virtually the same second I did that, FDG0 posted an article from a different publication on the same subject. It's about British school children, in quite young children. These are years 4 and 6, so I suppose that would be, what, about 9 and 11-year-old children?
8, 9, yeah.
Yeah, we're told that they had to take part in a workshop on Islam. And that's not the worst part of it. If they didn't take part, they would have a note put in their school file, a racial discrimination note, that would have stayed in their school file for the whole of their school career. And, the headmistress, a Lynn Small, decided that this was a good idea for whatever reason. It's at Littleton Green Community School in Huntington in Staffordshire. She wrote to all the parents and basically said, yeah, if they didn't go, they'd get a note that would go on their school file. If you like, I mean, if you wish to read that out, Tommy, you go right ahead. I'm working from the Muslim issue, but there's also something in the Daily Mail, and I'm sure I've seen it in at least one other place. But you go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. Dear parent carer, if I break up, let me know. As part of the National Religious Education Curriculum, together with the multicultural community in which we live, it is a statutory requirement for primary school-aged children to experience and learn about different cultures. The workshop is at Staffordshire University and will give your child the opportunity to explore other religions. Children will be looking at religious artefacts similar to those that will be displayed in the museum. They will not be partaking in any religious practices. Refusal to allow your child to attend this trip will result in a racial discrimination note being attached to your child's education record, which will remain on this file throughout their school career. As such, our expectations are that all children in years 4 to 6 attend school on Wednesday 27th November to take part in this trip. All absences on this day will be investigated for their credibility and will only be sanctioned with a GP sick note. If you'd like to discuss this further, please contact our RE coordinator, Mrs. Edmonds. Yours sincerely, Mrs. L. Small, head teacher.
If it was my child that was going to that school, I would take my child away from that ideology of that headmistress. If you don't take part, you will be classed as a racist on your permanent record. I think she deserves to be sacked.
She doesn't deserve
to be put in a position to be in charge of young children with making those remarks because of a child. If a parent refuses to let their child go, they're classed as racist. Well, this is a bridge too far. One step too far with this headmistress, and I bet her phone is red hot, because everybody's going to go looking who this headmistress is. And she will just have to take the phone off the hook, because I'll tell you what, if I was a parent and I lived in the proximity of where the headmistress is, I would complain and complain and complain to the highest authority.
Do you know,
it's disgraceful.
I think they've actually clamped down on this. Can I have seen a lot of primary schools have been doing this, and they've clamped down on it ever since Lee Rigby got murdered.
Well, it should never have been any sort of policy that was enforced with that sort of wording in the first place. In this particular instance, the parents complained and the council got involved, and it says the school was then forced to make a U-turn, and the headmistress was forced to write to the parents. But it's not a proper apology. What she did, she wrote to parents apologising for inaccuracies in the previous correspondence. Okay, that's not saying I made a mistake. And she says, I apologise for inaccuracies in the previous correspondence, and asking parents to, on reflection, disregard a section from the earlier letter. Now, that's in no way saying, I made a mistake, I was wrong, and I'm going to make a U-turn. But yeah, quite honestly, if the headmistress did it on her own, off her own bat, as it were, then yeah, she should face disciplinary sanctions. But I can see that
she should never be allowed to teach. I wouldn't want her teaching my children with that, the way that she thinks of young children, because if they refuse to take part in this Islam teaching thing, that they'll be put as race there. It's disgraceful. And I'm surprised you still kept a job. I can't believe it, Tim.
I think there's a larger issue here. That's the problem. Because who knows what sort of instructions came down from the council regarding this Islam workshop. If the headmistress says that pupils are going to be given a racial discrimination note to put in their folder that's going to stay with them for their entire career, that strikes me as a directive at least at council level. I would be surprised if she took that off her own bat. Now, I'm not saying she didn't, because I don't know from this article where the blame really should be laid. I mean, I certainly think, as a headmistress, she shouldn't have gone as far as sending the letter out. But if the instruction came from higher up in the council, I think questions should be asked. This is Cannock, I think, Huntington near Cannock. And I think questions should be asked of Cannock Council. The South Staffordshire MP, he's a Conservative MP called Gavin Williamson, and he is in disagreement with this. He says, his words were, the original threat was bonkers. Now, quite honestly, I would have put it much stronger than that. I would have said that that was a criminal act to put something like that note in, out to parents, to say that if their child didn't partake, then effectively their school career, their entire school career, would be blighted by a racial discrimination note going on their file. That is an absolutely
disgraceful. What can you say? I'm flabbergasted that it was ever brought up. I'll be quite honest with you, Tim. And it just goes to show you the caliber of these social engineering teachers that we've got now. Of what we was talking about the other day, the social engineering sort of thing, and basically, and a child, a little kid, for goodness sake, because if the parents say, no, we don't want our children, they're going to be classed as racist. So that is an open threat, isn't it? What would happen to your child? But as you say, she's done a U-turn.
She has done a U-turn. Well, let's say that the council and the head teacher between them issued what I would classify as a lame apology for a U-turn by saying that there were inaccuracies in the original letter. Instead of saying, we were wrong and we have decided to reverse our policy as a matter of course, they have just fallen back on some mealy-mouthed words to say that some sections of the original letter were inaccurate. Now, I personally think that's appalling, and I feel there's a good case for making the council or but to find out where this originated from and to get the people involved to issue a far more robust statement refuting
yes.
that type of, as you say, it's blackmail, and they should really be taken to task for it, and certainly I feel heads should roll, and if not actually
yeah.
the head picture,
well,
mate.
As the Marine soldier says, this is something the EDL should get involved in, and I do believe he's got a very good case for us to be involved in this, because I find it absolutely disgraceful. I really do, and I know that many of other members that have read this story will be probably up in arms as well. And yeah,
well, I would
probably
like to
will
say
get
there has
involved
been
with
another Islamic hate attack. This time in Newcastle. Again.
Newcastle.
I'll read the link out to you. A teenager who lost the use of his hand after a firework was thrown at him from a moving car has told Sky Tyne and Wear he may be permanently disabled. Plates and rods have been sewn into 19-year-old Conrad Dunnett's hand, which was badly burned and broken in two places after the firework exploded. The teenager was standing outside Gay Bar the Dog in Newcastle City Centre when he says three Asian men threw a firework at him from a black BMW. Mm. I saw the three of them in a black BMW having a laugh, but I thought nothing of it. My mate shouted, wait, so I turned around, they threw something, and I turned around to block it because I thought it was a bottle. It exploded in my hand.
Tommy, you're breaking up, Sam. Tommy, you're breaking up, boy.
Oh, hang on, is that any better?
A little bit, but it's slight intermittent fault, would you not say, Sam? He's got it's coming and going.
Yeah, it is a bit of an intermittent fault. Do you want to talk about that, or do we want to just explore the previous article a little bit more, or do you want to come back to that later? Because it's
I'm going to call back in.
What's that? Sorry.
I'll call back in.
He's going to call back. Okay, Tom, well, we'll catch you in a second. It might clear, as I say, it just might be just a dodgy line there. It was just when you was talking, it was breaking, and we like to hear what you've got to say, Tom. So he'll be back in a minute, guys. yeah, maybe, as I say, that's really angered me, Tim. I just can't believe I felt when I read...
that there was a good case for the EDL making an issue out of it, and it, because if it's going higher up, okay, if it was just the headmistress doing it off her own bat, well, that's one thing, and I certainly think that pressure should be brought to bear for her either to issue a full unconditional and grovelling apology if she did it herself, or higher up to investigate it further, because if it came from higher up, I wonder just how many other schools are being, the children in other schools are being pressured in the same way. Now, as Remy Soldier said in the chat room, we were warned that Islam was going to become part of his religious studies, and to a certain extent, I don't have a problem with that. I think that children should be able to find out that there is such an entity called Islam, and if it's being taught in their schools, I'm not expecting wonders. I expect that it would be whitewashed, and I would expect that when children are old enough to find out a little bit more in terms that they can relate to, then the truth about Islam should be introduced to them. I mean, I quite honestly don't think that that's actually going to happen in our schools, but what I am upset about, as I'm sure you are, is the fact that they would even consider imposing these stringent sanctions on young children and blighting their school record for a decision which might well have been taken by the parent thinking, I don't want my child to get involved in this. Now, I think that's quite wrong, and I believe
it's a form of blackmail, isn't it, Tim? Let's be honest, let's call it what it is. If your child doesn't take part in this religious studies, what we are going to do, then your child's going to have a racist slur on him or her that followed them all through their school career. Now, is that a form of blackmail to a parent or not?
It is a form of blackmail, and it's an appalling position for somebody in a position of authority. It's an appalling thing to do for somebody in a position of authority, like a head teacher or higher up, like a school's counsellor, whoever's in charge of this sort of thing at council level. And if it's going even higher still and it's being imposed at ministerial level, I think we should find out about it. And I think the EDL in particular could do a lot worse than make it their mission to find out a great deal more about this particular case and how
far... Well, I'm sure that will be the case. You know, there's a lot of good people out there that will now be following up. And you know, we hound and we will go after these. What we find is things like that. It's disgraceful. It should never happen in schools. But this is what we're saying. The indoctrination that's happening in our schools over the last 5 to 10 years is becoming quite apparent now. With what we've just read out there, Tim, and that article, it's quite obvious that this is the situation that we're finding.
It's not so much the indoctrination in terms of introducing Islam as a religion. Obviously, you and I disagree with this. I mean, some people would say it's a cult. I say it's both a cult and a political ideology, but we should not be treating it first and foremost as a religion. But that aside, the appalling thing is the blackmail, as you say. And Eric Kyle in the chat room has said, well, sue them if they do that, let your kid go to court and let them prove your kid's racist. The trouble is, 99% of parents won't want to go down that route at all. They will just roll over meekly at the threat of a racial discrimination note being put on their child's file to blight their school career for the rest of their school lives. That's an appalling thing, and it's so heavy-handed that, you know, most parents would not want to fight against that. They would just say, I really don't want anything bad to happen to my child or my child to be single out, so they would just go along with it. So it's up to groups like us. This is the ideal thing that, a group like the EDL should really be running with. I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't, because I believe they would, but I'm throwing it out there so that if we've got any do-it-yourself detectives who can find a little bit more out about this, or you, Jeff, with your Sherlock Holmes Deerstalker, that you would be perfect for the job.
I'll tell you what, what I was going to say, Tim, you know, we talk about it, but it's you just don't really know what really goes on in the background with so many good people. You know, people like Ivan, people like Glenda, everybody's digging, checking, and this is what we do all the time. So this is just something else that another one of our things that we will get a hold of, and we will run with it, like, you know. So, well, I hope so. I hope that, you know, some of our good people out there will get onto this and start delving a little bit, because we've got some good delvers in the EDL.
I'm certainly going to make a note of it in my show files for tonight, and I will be mentioning it again if I have an opportunity, or if I get some extra information. I won't try and reinvent the wheel if somebody else is within the organisation is delving deeply and they want to keep us up to date, then that's absolutely great. But I'm just going to make a note that for my own personal reasons, because I feel it's such a pernicious thing for a council authority or a head teacher of a primary school to get involved in, I just think that it needs to be taken much, much further, and that people need to learn the lessons and not just say, please disregard the previous correspondence because it was inaccurate. They, you know, they really ought to be held to account and made
to... if you put something out there, you sent letters out, Tim, to all the parents, and how many parents, what it was, I don't know. But if you send a letter out, it's quite obvious, it's out there, and then you try to retract, you've already put that information out there, you've already put people's backs up, and it's okay to do sort of backtracking and say, well, you know, give it a different wording. But she hasn't apologised for nothing.
No, she hasn't.
And that is the point that I'm making. She has not apologised, and she needs to have lost her job over that. I think it's a disgraceful position that she's in, a headmistress, for goodness sake, to actually write letters that's blackmailing parents. It's disgraceful, and she needs to be taken in front of the educational authorities and sacked. And I know that's what I would do if I was in the position. I would sack her.
I'm broadly sympathetic with that point of view, but I was mainly concerned with how high does this go. And I'm with Remy Solder.
Wherever it goes
on
to, Remy, sack them.
Remy thinks it goes a lot higher than an individual head teacher.
And
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's right. Now, I haven't looked into it, so I don't want to speculate anymore, but I really do think that it's worth following up. And I'm going to just see what else I can find about this, because it is in my local area, and if I get any additional information on that, it is something I'll maybe bring up on another show. But thought that was for me, that was one of the most important stories of the week, and I thought I'd like to get
well,
it out
to me,
there.
It certainly is, Tim. As you know, you've heard the anger in my voice. I couldn't really contain myself. Well, I just think it was a degradation of her duty to actually put a letter out like that. Which being a parent, if I received a letter like that, do you know what I'd have done with it, Tim? I would have took it to a solicitor and said, can you have checked this out? This is not right. Can you see the legal aspects here? And where we need... That's what I would do personally. I would...
Well,
put it in front of a legal team, and because there was a precedent
I certainly think that every opportunity should be explored, but we should never forget that most parents, when they're confronted with this sort of thing, their desire is not to rock the boat, because after all it's their child in the school, and if they make a fuss and their child gets singled out, their child could suffer. So the natural reaction of most parents is not to rock the boat, not to make a fuss, and just to hope it'll all blow over. Now, as a parent, that's quite an understandable reaction, but it's groups like us that should be making a huge fuss about this, because it's part of the push to make Islam respectable in this country. And we should be fighting against that tooth and nail. And
that statement you made there is exactly where we stand, and that we will fight it every step of the way, because these things, as we know, the Islamization of our country and of our nation and of other nations, other people that listen, probably the same things are happening wherever, you know, if you live in Europe, you know that sort of thing is possibly happening in the schools where you are. And what I'm going to say now, guys, this is such a controversial thing that we're talking about, a very topical thing. And if you would like to maybe call in, and if you want to sort of, you know, add a few things to what we've been discussing, because I think it's a good topical talking point for this evening. So if you've hooked up to Skype and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, if you left click on the Skype button, that's the blue S button, right? You follow the prompts and you'll have someone say, "Would you like to speak to the host or listen to the show?" You will press 1 on whatever device you're listening in on the show for this evening. But if you're not, haven't got any of those devices, and you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. I'll repeat, 001-858-777-5934. So if you want to add something to what we've been discussing, which I'm quite irate over this story that we've been discussing, please call in. You know, this is your platform. If you want to make your point, please do. So there you go, Tim.
Okay. All right, well, I haven't got much else to add to that particular story, apart from saying that if anybody, as Jeff said, if anybody wants to dial in and talk about it, I think we would all welcome their point of view. But more importantly, if anybody has got some particular inside knowledge of how councils work in this respect and they'd like to share it with us, then we'd like that too, because it's the kind of thing that I think if you just phoned up the council and said, what's happening here, they would just stonewall you. You really need to do a little bit of digging, and that may mean talking to people who might be predisposed not to give you information, because, or at least not to give you their name, because their jobs might be at risk if they're found to have disclosed information about what could be, for all I know, a confidential council-wide policy. It might be wide enough to encompass pretty much all the councils in the UK, for all I know. And if that's the case, I think we ought to know about it. But I'll leave it at that until I find out any more, unless anybody wants to dial in and come and speak to us about it.
Yes, I'm not sure. I've got a caller who's holding on this moment, Tom, who wants to ask something. So I'm going to bring the caller in right now. So, yeah, welcome, caller to the East Anglian ZDL Radio Show. Go ahead. If there's something you want to discuss with what we've been talking about, go ahead.
Hello, Jeff. It's Michael Green, and hello, Tim Burton.
Hello, Michael. Do you know, I had a feeling.
Hey, Michael.
I'm so glad Michael has called in, because Michael's got a very good perspective on education, certainly over in the United States, and this sort of topic would probably be right down his street. So I'm glad you've called, Michael.
Yes, yes. I haven't been on the air lately. I've just been involved with a lot of wounded warriors here in America. Yeah, I do want to add my commentary on this, but I missed a bit of your conversation and discussion. If you could kind of just pick it up for me a little bit, Tim, and
yep.
give me a little more detail, and then I'd like to give you my thoughts.
Right. Well, I'll give you a brief summary, which is this was a story which has hit the papers, the national papers, but it concerns a school in Staffordshire, which is only just up the road from where I live, a little place called Huntington. And the headmistress wrote a letter to the parents of kids in year 4 and year 6, which I think refers to 10, 11-year-olds, something like that, and said that they had to attend an Islam workshop. And if they didn't, a racial discrimination note would go on the child's file for the rest of their school career. Now, that was the appalling part for me, and Jeff and I were both rightly appalled about this. Not so much, I mean, we knew that Islam was going to be taught to a certain extent in our schools, and I suppose it's too much to expect them to whitewash it, but the appalling thing is that it's very heavy-handed for a headmistress or any kind of head teacher to say that if you don't send your child to this event, a racial discrimination note, a note will go on the child's file, which will effectively be a black mark against their child for the rest of their school career. And it might have been a decision that the parent took to not allow them to go to the Islam workshop for whatever reason, and yet it would be the child that would suffer. Now, my argument was that, yes, heads should roll. Jeff is of the opinion that the headmistress's head should roll, and that's certainly a factor, because the apology that she wrote was only a very half-hearted apology, and not a proper full apology at all. But my thoughts, and the thoughts of one or two people in the chat room, were that it might have gone much higher than this, and it might be a directive issued by the local council, or it might be a directive issued even higher than that at ministerial level to affect all the councils in the land, for all we know, and that the EDL is the group who should be jumping on this and making a big deal out of it, because it's quite obvious to me that in the half-hearted apology that the council and the headmistress issued, that they don't really think it's a bad idea at all, and they're just probably sorry they got found out in this fashion. So that's the background. Would you like to pick it up from there, Michael?
Yes, and I found the story while you were speaking at a website on the internet, and I'm kind of just reviewing it. You know, this is so outrageous in America, we've had a situation somewhat similar, but not as egregious. This is just the ultimate, as far as I'm concerned, in the audacity of these leftist enablers that want to push Islam down the throats of the people of the UK and then use intimidating tactics to label, you know, once again we see the word racism being bantered about and used in such a unjustifiable way.
Oh, yeah. And
I believe there is a concerted effort. I know in the United States there is. There's something called the Common Core, which is a government-sponsored educational program that 45 states in the U.S. have adopted. Within the Common Core, we've discovered that Islam has got a foothold through certain textbooks that give it a big spotlight way over Judaism or Christianity. And then the instances of, you know, taking students and pupils to mosques, giving them a Quran, having young female students put on a burqa or a hijab, wearing Muslim clothing that Muslim women wear. So now, anyway, in the UK, I believe that this is coming from your government, probably. I don't have anything to substantiate that. But these people who are in charge of these schools, and you said there are these councils, some type of policy has been done here. I think this is a policy issue.
That's my feeling. It doesn't say so in the article, but that's my feeling, certainly.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe that, because in America we've seen different instances in different states in the U.S., and through research we found out that this is actually a policy that's coming down through the government and then coming through each individual state and so forth. I believe that the same thing must exist in the U.K., and this has to be fought tooth and nail. Fiercely this has to be fought.
That was my thought, and the EDL is the ideal group that's positioned to pick up on this very subject. There's a lot of important subjects that the EDL cover, and I've only seen this particular article today, but it's, as you say, it's a thin end of the wedge. Although the headmistress said, well, there's no religious practice involved, that's not the point. It's the threatening of the career of each individual child who, for whatever reason, doesn't make it to this Islamic workshop, maybe on the wishes of the parents. It could blight their school career, and that's the appalling thing. And as Poppy said, Poppy was of the same opinion as Jeff, in that, you know, there'd be a good case for taking your child out of school, but a lot of parents think, you know, what will happen to my child if it seems like I'm not going along with it? Will my child suffer? So it's a very, very unfair pressure to put on parents, and it's groups like us that should be applying the pressure on behalf of those parents who, quite rightly, in many cases, feel that they're being put into a between a rock and a hard place. That's what we're here for. I think we should run with it.
You have to run with it. This is extortion. It's a form of blackmail.
It is. Yes.
I said that, Michael. So the way it was worded was blackmailing the parent. Either your child takes part in this Islamic workshop, or your child will be blighted with being a racist for the rest of his career or her career in the school curriculum. And that is a total disgrace. She shouldn't even be in that position now. She should have been removed as soon as she posted those letters to those parents. That is the way my position. I think she still needs to be sacked. It's not good enough.
No, she should be absolutely removed. I'm looking at a copy of the letter. I found it online. I'm reading this. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed. Yeah. And, you know, it's good that she put this in writing. It's good that there's tangible evidence, you know, in a way, instead of just making a verbal threat, you know. So I don't know the exact ins and outs of things work in the UK, but this thing has to be taken all the way. There can be no tolerance, zero tolerance on something of this nature. And first of all, what is the Islamic workshop? What's going to take place? What are these kids going to be taught? What's the
indoctrination, isn't it? It's quite obvious, Michael and Tim, exactly the thinking behind these people that want these children to get into studies with Islam. We do know it's the way that they gradually, slowly involve young children, impressionable young children, to be involved in this disgusting cult. Let's call it what it is.
They would have sanitized it
and do what they do, but we know what Islam's all around about, and any parent should be up in arms about this.
This is the problem. If Islam was in reality a benign and tolerant religion, okay, cue the gales of laughter for the moment, all right? But if it was a tolerant and benign religion in the same way that you could say that about Judaism and Christianity, and they were all being taught in schools in exactly the same unbiased way, there wouldn't be an issue. But what's happening is that Islam is being given preference, the unpleasant aspects of Islam are being whitewashed, and children are being given a completely biased view at a very early age, which is naturally going to be very unhelpful when they get to maybe 5 or 6 years older, and they stumble across the less pleasant aspects of Islam. What are they going to do? They're going to be like the rest of us. They're just going to say, oh, I was taught when I was very young that Islam is a benign and tolerant religion. I'm not going to get involved in learning about anything other than what I was taught when I was very young. A lot of kids will just have that impression because that's what they were given.
And then this is the case of our nation being subjected to one day with having a black flag flying over it, because this is what happens. These kids will just roll over, and it's a softening approach, softening touch.
This particular workshop, I don't think there wasn't any dressing up or reciting of the Shahada or reading of the Quran or anything like that, as I understand it. But that's not the point. The point is that the council felt that they could come down like a ton of bricks on any child whose parent said, I don't want my child to learn about Islam in that fashion, because, you know, they might have the view that we do, that it is not a benign and tolerant religion at all. It's a cult, it's a political ideology first and foremost, and it should not be taught as part of religious studies. That would be my view. However, the parents who are not that well informed may feel that they're being pressured into a corner and may feel that they don't want to take any steps because it might endanger their child's education. So that's why I feel it's so important that for us to get involved with things like that. Because
Because you never know, Tim, there might be some parents that listen to the radio show. If you've been listening and you're one of the parents that have one of these letters that was sent you by this headmistress, you can get more proactive. Look into Islam. Look what it's all about. Look what this teacher, this headmistress, was saying to you as a parent, that if your child didn't take part, then they would be classed as a racist. Think about that. And what we say with the media is you can do something. Get involved with us. If you want us to take this case up, we will fight it for you as well. There's no doubt about it. You know, that's what it's all about. Don't worry about it. We will stand and we will fight these issues, because it's so important. Your child shouldn't be put under any sort of pressure to do this or that in the curriculum.
Go on, Michael. I was just going to...
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, Jeff, you're 100% correct. You know, in this article on the internet, it says here, there's a quote, "We have pupils and teachers who belong to the Islamic faith. Therefore, it's right that the children understand and appreciate their faith." Here's the problem. As we all know, the infiltration of Islamic people into Western nations. So because there's Muslim students in this school, or teachers, which is even worse, who are Muslim, this is what they do. They demand not just that their so-called religion gets some kind of equal exposure, but to get the huge spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
Yeah, of course it's so egregious to use an extortion type tactic, you know, to blackmail
these
young
kids wrong,
and their
it,
parents.
It's wrong, isn't it, Michael? This is it. This is what
you know,
we're saying.
It's like,
so wrong.
It's beyond wrong, and that woman should be fired. She should be removed.
Yes.
She may not be, of course, but that's what needs to be done to her. But
of course
more
it
important
does,
is
Michael.
That,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm like you. I think myself, you, Tim, and anybody that's listening, thinking, why hasn't she been removed from that position?
Well,
why
has
she not? Why is she still there?
Yeah.
No, she's put a letter out there which we can see it's blackmail. It's blackmail to the parents. It's not so much that, yes, your child is going to affect, but we're going to blackmail you. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. It's wrong, and then I would take it to a solicitor. I would want my solicitor to fight this. And,
There's a question in the chat room, Jeff and Michael, about comes from Remy Soldier, and he says, would it be possible for somebody senior in the EDL, he's suggesting an RO, to put something together for members in order that they could, get involved out there, and I don't know what he's quite thinking of, whether he's talking about a flyer
I'm getting
or something.
Yeah, I don't get the idea. Well, we can always...
You know what you should... You know, there should be a demonstration.
Ivan.
And, you know, really what has to happen here, not just in the UK but in America, is that parents need to wake up and they need to get angry. You know, when people get mad, anger motivates people, and they need to get disgusted, and they have to say, this is my child. I don't want my child exposed to something. And they need to get together and form some type of organization or hook up with the EDL. You know, I think the EDL should do...
Yes.
The EDL should create a division that focuses with bringing together parents who have children in schools in the UK and coordinate a organization, have it structured somewhat to not just monitor these type of situations, but when these things happen, to take some kind of lawful action, whether it's a demonstration in front of the school. You know, the parents of most of these kids in this school in Littleton, they should go to that school, and they should, demand that that woman is removed. You know, the problem is, and we have it here in America too, is complacency. There's just way too much complacency from people today. Those that aren't educated about the problems of Islam don't see the threat. So they need to be educated, and those that are educated have to get off their ass and start doing something.
I agree.
We do have that
all the time, don't we, Michael and Tim? We say that. Become more proactive.
Yeah.
Instead of
do have that
waking
problem.
A finger and saying, oh, this is wrong, do something about it. Become more proactive. Mm. Get involved with us, and we will push these things forward. I was going to say, guys, this is such a topical thing. I've just noticed we've got our very own Tommy English back. He's back with us. But I was going to say, guys, I need to take this break. We'll take about 5 minutes or so. And we come back, and maybe we can continue, because this, and maybe some of our listeners maybe want to call in. Because as you say, these are things that we can talk, you know, with some of our senior members, our ROs, we could get involved with some of these aspects that we've been talking about on the show. These are the things that when Tim was on the show, that he wants people and our ROs to get more involved, you know, with different things, what we can do. So this is this is a bit of a test. We can do this as long as we got people with the right views and that, and simple information. We can put things together, because we can do. You know, the parents are a bit worried, a bit. Well, we will take up this. We'll champion the fight. You know, but I'm going to say, guys, if you don't mind, I say welcome back, Tom. And so Tommy was having a few issues with his quality of sound was intermittent there. But it's good to have you back. But as I say, we just need to take 5 minutes break, and maybe we can continue. Michael, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the show this evening. And also, I've just got to give a quick mention to Sue from New Mexico. Thanks for once again tuning in to the show, as you do. Yeah, you're breaking up again, Tom.
You're breaking up, Tommy.
Yeah. Anyway, hopefully, when we come back, Tom, it might be a little bit better, because we all want to hear what you've got to say. So with that, this is Not My England, A&L. So here we go, guys. And welcome back, everybody. This is the East Anglia ZDL radio show. We've been talking tonight on something very, very controversial, which has really got us quite irate and very angry with what we've been speaking about tonight. On the panel this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we've got our very own Cat Stringer, 101, meow, and that's Tim, Mr. Tim Burton.
Well,
and from across the pond, one of our dear friends for the show is Mr. Michael Green. Always a pleasure to have you on the show and a part of the panel and the team there. And, of course, not forgetting our very own Mr. Tommy English, one of our co-hosts of the show. So, once again, welcome back, guys. And, yes, it was quite interesting, some of the things that we was discussing just before the interval, wasn't it, guys?
Indeed, and I see that Remy Soldier has made a couple of good points while the break has been on. He was saying, you know, this is something the EDL can get involved in. There was talk in the couple of people mentioned about producing a letter and sharing it with members of the EDL. Somebody else said that I think the overall consensus is it would definitely be a good thing for the senior echelons of the EDL to get involved with.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, when the show's over and we discussed it and knocked it back into a bit, maybe a quick email to the various people who need to know to say we have touched on a subject in the show tonight that a lot of people feel very strongly about, and you know, maybe, I don't know, as individuals or as a group, there are probably arguments for and against doing either or both, produce some letters and emails and let people in authority know that we take things like this very seriously.
Good, you do.
Exactly how it's handled, that's really, I think, something that needs to be put higher up the EDL group, and you know, maybe there is... maybe there's a mechanism for handling this. I mean, I would...
I'm sure that we've got two great people who is a part of the EDL that does take issues with these things and does, you know, pull all the stops out and will do the right things and get the letters, emails, etc. On the roll. As we're probably talking, you know, we've got people just listening to the show that's probably taking notes and probably doing exactly that, what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I will be talking to, discussing this with Ivan maybe tomorrow sometime. Also, not forgetting, we got one of our ROs, which is on the show this Sunday. He's got a very important statement that he wants to make for this Sunday show. I've been having in chats with Glenn, and that's Mr. Glenn Saffron. He'll be on this Sunday. So maybe, you know, we'll have discussions with Glenn and Ivan, some of our senior ROs, and we can put something together. I'm sure that will be the case, Tim, that we can get something on the roll, because it's so important. I mean, the consensus is... We need to get involved with...
indeed.
With
I mean, I think it just goes to show how important shows like this are, because it's one thing getting into the press and, you know, getting some people interested for a few days, and then the news stories being what they are, they come and they go and people forget about them. But I think issues like this are really something that are tailor-made for groups like the EDL to get involved with and to really keep the issue alive. It's things like education that are going to be affecting, at the risk of stating the obvious, okay, it's going to be affecting the next generation of school children and how they view Islam. We've got a particular view which we are sharing with the world, and I think that view is resonating everywhere throughout the rest of the Western world, as I have said before. But that it's important to keep the issue alive, because the next generation of children, if they're being indoctrinated and intimidated in these nefarious ways, then we need to be stamping on this and making a huge deal out of it. We need to be making a really big deal out of it.
Yeah, I was just wondering, maybe Michael would like to come back on some of the things we've just been talking about. What do you think about that, Michael?
Yeah, I think it's out of all the different things that we need to address that Islamic fascism is doing in our respective countries, the poisoning of the minds of young children to, as Tim said, whitewash Islam, of course, not give the truth, which they'll never do, but this very concerted effort to, in a deliberate way, promote Islam to children as young as 4 and 6, it's outrageous. As I said before the break, parents need to get together and, of course, work with the EDL. Maybe the EDL could establish a division. I think it would be important to focus on this issue, because it's really an issue that needs a lot of attention. And we both know, yeah, we all know on this radio program tonight, and those listening, those in the chat room, that this is going to continue. And there will be other situations such as this one, maybe even more egregious. I don't think there's anything that we could not expect the Muslim fascists to do, and their leftist enablers. So these young children need to be protected as best as we can, at least try, because they don't have a voice. And we as adults and their parents need to stand up and speak for them, because they don't know what they're being exposed to. And, you know, look at the pedophilia that exists in the Islamic culture.
I know,
and here you have young children. You know, this is the insanity, and the thing that really is outrageous, that, you know, pedophilia is part of the Islamic culture. They can deny it all they want, but, you know, the facts are there. And to expose young children to Islam, just knowing that that exists, is really disturbing.
Well, it's crazy, isn't it, Michael? And I think Tim would agree. We have another caller who's been sitting there patiently for a little while, and of course that's our Sue from New Mexico. I think she might have a few things to speak on this issue. So let's bring Sue in into the panel this evening. Welcome, Sue, to the East Anglia's EDL Radio Show. You're live. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Boy, this is another thing that I am very, very involved in. And like Michael said, in the U.S., it's going through Common Core. I want to tell you what the U.S. and people are doing to stop this. I don't know if any of this could help you in the U.K. The states are using social media. If you go to at Common Core and enter in your state's initial, follow them, they will let you know all the things that are coming up with Common Core, whether it's in local school boards or state legislatures. So, you know, some way, if someone in the UK could do something like that and utilize social media so that they can follow these people, and they will in turn let them know everything that's going on with the Islamic, you know, push that's occurring in the school. The other thing that they're doing, and they're very successful in the United States, is parents at the local level, when they find out that there is one of these trips now to these Islamic centers or whatever, through the civil liberties, they are threatening and in some cases filing lawsuits, telling the school boards that say, we don't care what you say, we're going to go ahead and do it. they are saying, okay, you want to go ahead and do it, then you have to do it for every single religion, whether it's all of it. And that is really important because the schools don't want to do that, and they basically will shut down that part of the program. That has been very successful here. And
What I was going to say, guys, is that I've got to, I know Reeves Soldier's quite annoyed about it. He says, why are people missing the point here? This is about religious studies, and children who don't take part are being branded as racist on file. And I can, you know, Reeves Soldier, I'm the same as you. I'm very angry that they've actually, this headmistress has actually written a letter to parents and basically blackmailing them if they don't their children don't take part. I know there's been a retraction. I know we've gone over this in the early part of the show, but I can see the anger in some of our people in the chat room, which, you know, with Reem, and I feel exactly the same as you, Reem. And maybe, as I say, we've seen this, what's been going on, and it's quite openly out there. And this headmistress is still in that position. She's still got that power. She didn't say sorry. She made a muffled statement which wasn't even looked as an apology. It was a retraction, but at the same time, it was not an apology. She needs to be removed from her post. I don't know if you do you agree with that, Sue. This is so wrong.
Well, yes, I do. And that's where, you know, and I even think the EDL can be very powerful because these people do need to be removed. And the thing that scares me about this is they are indoctrinating young children about Islam. And then when they are older, in their teens, it's going to be much easier for the Islamists to recruit these children. But, yeah.
And that's I think all our main concerns
can
are, so, isn't it?
Can I just ask if I can be heard now?
Sorry?
What's that?
Can I just ask if I can be heard?
Yes, you can. Tommy, you are now clear.
We hear you.
I don't want you down,
right,
but it's...
I'm calling on the mobile.
Well, it's much clearer, Tommy.
Bell now, young man. Welcome back, Tom.
I'm going to start calling on the mobile from now on if it's coming through better.
Well, it was an intermittent issue there, Tom. Yeah, it's not... normally, you're as clear as a bell, isn't he, Tim and Michael? He's normally pretty clear.
Well, ever since Humberside Police take the hard drive and provide me this horrible thing that I can't even recognise the microphone properly, it's kind of a pain.
You mean they this is disgraceful, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we laugh about it, but don't forget, young Tommy has had his computer taken away. For what reason, Tom? Why'd they take your computer away?
Oh, they're checking it for extremist material.
Have you got extreme material? I don't think you would have anything like that anyway. Well, what's extreme about what we speak about? I get so bloody annoyed when they call us extremists because we expose Islam, this cult called Islam. How come we're extreme? Tim, Michael, Sue, why are we extreme because we expose this cult?
Tommy, can I get an understanding of what you just said? Was your computer confiscated?
Well, they're taking the hard drive, yeah, so I had to go out and get a new one. I had to go get a Windows.
By whom exactly?
I was taken away by the counter-extremism unit.
When did this take place?
About 2 weeks ago when people started to realize I had trouble with the Skype when I called in.
Okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't aware of that. So they took the hard drive off your computer, and they're looking for something there that is considered extremism?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. You know what? This is just a violation of a person's civil rights as far as I'm concerned. You know, like Jeff just said, we're speaking out against an ideology – that beheads live human beings, cuts off the clitoris of 5 or 6-year-old girls, does all these barbaric things, and we're considered the extremists.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the big problem we have over here, Michael, is that an act was passed in the early part of this millennium. I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but it was an anti-terrorism act. Somebody can correct me if I don't get the wording right. But the idea was that the police pretty much anybody in a position of authority could take very draconian steps, such as the confiscation of computer equipment, if they felt that it might lead to the commission of a terrorist act or a conspiracy or anything related to something that could be loosely classified as terrorism. And there have been lots of examples where people have been hauled over the coals for very, very minor things, because the way the law was worded, you could be arrested or you could have your life turned upside down for very... your life could be made completely miserable by the police and by those in authority if you were deemed to be some sort of threat against national security. I mean, Tommy's talking about having his hard drive taken away. You just think about the number of times that people like Tommy Robinson had his house turned over because he had the temerity to form the group, the EDL, in the first place. And yet all we were doing was protesting against what we saw as a huge threat to the British way of life. Yes, extremism. And that's the problem we have over here, that laws have been passed to make our lives completely miserable if we step out of line.
It's,
and nobody appreciated it at
silence. Silence us in speaking out against this cult. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. You know, they could take our hard drives. They will never stop us speaking out against the things that
I agree entirely, and as long as we've got this show here and we can talk about things like this, you know, the spirit is going to be kept alive. But I'm only mentioning it now because Michael might think, you know, what sort of laws have we got here in the UK, and the answer is very draconian ones,
laws.
And the police can pretty much do what they like. So that's just for Michael's benefit, really.
No, I appreciate you informing me. You know, there's been some attempts in America, nothing successful at this stage, to implement similar type laws. And fortunately, right now, our Constitution still supersedes any of this draconian fascism, because that's what it is, to limit free speech. You know, we're not terrorists. We don't advocate violence. We're not planning any kind of violent acts. We're just speaking out against something
that
is barbaric.
Not, that's right.
And like you just said,
we're
Tim,
not
we'll
the ones that
are
spreading the hatred.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if
indeed.
Agent Chowdhury, did they take Agent Chowdhury's hard drive?
No.
You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Get this out there now. Don't worry about them looking at my Facebook or my Twitter, because there is no way in hell they can access my Facebook or Twitter without my permission, because if they want to look at my Facebook, it'll come up with a text message on my phone saying an unknown device is logged onto your Facebook or my Twitter. Do I give them permission? If I say no, there is no way they can look at my Facebook. So don't worry about that, guys, because they ain't getting permission.
Yeah. I just think it's a travesty, though, of, you know, as you say, a human rights issue there, where they take your hard drive, they take your computer, looking for extremism things that might be on there, which if they would... you know, do their work properly, they will go looking for those people out there that wants to strap bombs to their backs, take themselves down to an underground and blow people up. Look at people like that. Has there ever been an attack like that with any member associated with our organisation? Never. And there never will be. And it's about time they got off our backs, or they listen to what we've got to say and do their jobs instead of coming and hounding us.
in an ideal world, Jeff, I would agree with you, but the fact is that they do have these powers and they are going to use them against us if they have an opportunity. And the more effective that our voice becomes, and I believe our voice is becoming more effective, the more we are likely to see this. And all I can say to anybody who is interested in becoming more involved is that if you have any sensitive information that you want to keep to yourself, then I should think very carefully about where you keep it, in what form you keep it, and how easily it might be taken away from you. And if it means backing your stuff up and encrypting it, then I think people should think long and hard about the level of security.
Very
that
good
they
information
need to
there,
their data.
I would say that's really good information for our listeners. So,
well, I'm saying, the reason I'm saying I actually do this for a living, and so I'm aware of the importance of keeping your data secure. And if somebody takes away a copy of it and it's encrypted with a sufficient level of encryption, such as 256-bit I'm not going to get too technical, but if you... I was just going to say, if you've got data, you want to make sure you take steps to keep it secure. That's all I'm going to say.
And that is very good information for any of our listeners out there. I don't know if you're getting the same... I'm getting a whirring noise now and again.
There's a sound on the line there. Guys, I do apologise. It's just telling me I've got Twitter and Facebook notifications and text messages.
Could you silence it a little bit? Because it's, you know, we're discussing things and you hear that in the background.
It's meant to be on silent.
It sounded to me, Tommy, like you got the Road Runner in your behind the mic.
Beep beep.
I do apologise, guys, but I will sort it out. But I was going to say, because we have got Wakefield tomorrow, and it's just gone 10 o'clock, and I've got a song we can play to get us all in the mood.
Let's continue after we've had a quick break, because I'll tell you what, this has been such an interesting topic of conversations that we've been having this evening, and I hope our listeners have been engrossed in what we've been speaking about, because it's so important that some of the things that we've been talking about this evening. So with that, we'll take a couple of minutes,
it's a couple of minutes, but it's a song we haven't played for a while.
Okay, and of course this is all the boys and girls, all the lads and lasses that's going to do the journey tomorrow to Wakefield. Safe journeys, guys. Enjoy your demo, and I'm sure it will be a great success. So with that, I'll pass it back to Tommy, and he can play the tune, because I know there's what they call, Michael and so demo fever. There's also demo fever, and that's... am I right or am I right, Tommy?
Like I said, it's like pregnancy. You're excited. You get your morning sickness.
You're not speaking from experience here, are you, Tommy?
Well, I've been doing this for nearly 4 years.
Well, he's an old man now.
9 months.
he was a man and boy when he started, weren't you, Tommy? Man and boy.
Just turned 16 when I joined. But while we're on the break, I'll see if I can sort out the vibration on my phone.
Oh my goodness, okay. Mate! Vibrations.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be continuing with our discussion. Maybe you want to get a little involved with what we've been saying as well. There's some interesting things there, and you've put some good views forward tonight on the show as well. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this. So with that, Tommy, over to you.
All right then, guys, here we go. In its own time.
We're all waiting, Tommy.
Yeah, I've pressed play.
The Royal Anglians had just returned home from a tour of duty in Afghanistan, but as their parade made its way through the streets, they were met by shouts of baby killers and burn in hell.
These were the pictures that the court used to convict five of the men, which included a taxi driver and an airport baggage handler. Chanting murderers, rapists and terrorists as troops marched by went beyond legitimate protest, said the judge. They were shocking phrases that would inevitably cause distress. In a statement, the police said
that Islamists and Islamism, from your caves in Afghanistan to your houses in Malmo, in Berlin, in Rome, in London, across Europe, get the hell out of Europe now, because Europe will never surrender to Islamism. We will never surrender to Islam. We are free men today, tomorrow, and forever in Europe, and we will unite Europe against Islamism. Walking across our country unchallenged has gone. The English Defence League here. Yes.
We paid a price to be free.
May the 8th, 1945.
With all the love, sweat and tears.
Muslim gangs peddling heroin, taking liberties in our towns and cities, taking liberties with our fucking youth, taking liberties with fucking non-Muslim youth, non-Muslim girls, raping, pimping, beating, abusing our whole system.
Generation of children will never ever forgive our generation for doing nothing. It is time to make a stand and do something in order to put pressure on this spineless government.
Well, there you go. Basically, I think that sums it all up, doesn't it? That the tune and the sentiment behind it. And I think that was just ideal, ideally done. So let's go. Thank you, Tommy, for that that bit of music for the break there. Yeah, welcome back, guys. Coming up for the last quarter of the show now. I'd like to acknowledge people in the chat room this evening as well. As I say, we've got myself, Jeff, East Anglia's EDL Radio. We've got Tommy English. We got our very own. We've got Iggy Mum. Iggy Mum, it's good to see you this evening. Good to see you. She's got great shows and she does great things as well on the blog scene. And of course, we've got Tim, Cat Strangler 101. Mr. Tim, part of our panel. We've got Dodgy Dave. Always good to see you, Dodgy, as usual. And also Eric Carl. It's always great to see you here, Eric. FDG. It's always good to see you. It's a great nick, that. It's confusing, but it's great. We've got numerous desks. I was going to say guests. Good to see you all. Thank you for being here this evening. And we've also got Hold Your Awakens with his own great show. He has great shows in the week on a Saturday. And he's got his own great blog as well. So it's always great to see you here, Holger. I think he's got one coming up tomorrow night, actually. And also, we've got Lady Michelle. Always good to see you, Lady Michelle. And also you here. It's pretty precious there. And we've got Poppy. Poppy from this side of the pond, from Scotland. Good to see you, Poppy, for all the great work you do. And also Reem Soldier. We've got Reem Soldier here who's been making some great comments. Thank you, Reem. It was a pleasure seeing you here. And we've got Stealth. And I do love that, Nick, Stealth. What a great name. And not forgetting, we've got Sue from New Mexico, who's calling, who's part of the panel this evening. He's called in and has been interjecting with the conversations that we've been having tonight. And not forgetting Mr. Michael Green, who's calling in from the other side of the pond there in the USA. So welcome back, everybody. And thank you, everybody, for who's in the chat room this evening. And not forgetting our great listening audience out there. Thank you so much for staying tuned to the East Anglia's EDL Radio Show. With that, back to the panel. Oh, my goodness me. Do you know what, guys? We cover so much once again tonight. Very topical issues and controversial and very, made us all very angry and irritated. But you know what? You know, I always say, use your anger in a positive way. With your anger, you know, if you use it right, you can make positive things happen. That's what I always say, and I think that's what we do within our organisation, is we think about things positively.
I've got a bloody roadrunner back, Jeff. We got the roadrunner back.
Yeah, well, I just started it. I really am.
Kick it out the window.
Tommy, what are you like?
Left on Twitter, I don't know what that does. What you like,
Jeff? Gentlemen, I'd like to respond. Sue from New Mexico made some good remarks, and there was a case in the United States where a video is being used in a really egregious way to promote Islam within a school. So one of the parents of a student at the school protested, and of course she went all the way to the superintendent of the district. Nothing happened. Eventually she engaged a law firm in the U.S. that took the case pro bono, and they threatened to sue, and so the school district backed down and they removed the video from being used in a classroom setting. The video was just proselytization of Islam. So as I said earlier, I think what needs to happen in the United States and also in the UK is some organization, of course, it could be connected to the EDL, maybe a separate division, what have you, of parents who want to stand up against the Islamization taking place in public schools and the targeting of young children. I don't know what the laws are in England. You know, in the United States, there is this thing of separation, kind of church and state, so to speak, where you're really not supposed to promote one particular religion. And so I don't know what your laws are, but I think it would be very beneficial to have something like this established if, you know, people within the EDL, whoever they might be, would want to try to set something like this up and get parents involved who are willing to make their voices heard and to, you know, take some kind of lawful action.
I agree. And as I say, I'm sure I'll be having a conversation within the next day or so, discussing what we've been talking about tonight, and hopefully we can move things forward there. And also to say, we will be this Sunday, we have got Glenn Sapp, one of our ROs, one of our senior ROs, who will be on
we
the
love
show.
You, Glenn.
Sorry?
We love you, Glenn.
I would like to quote Glenn Saffer from Bradford, actually. Something he said just shows how dedicated he is. He said to Channel 4, "I'm doing this until 2030 when I'm in my wheelchair and I hope someone will push me." And when I saw that, I actually inboxed him the next day saying, "I'll push you, Glenn."
There's a true patriot.
I've got to say, that this is what we find, that dedication with people knows that things are so important. What we do and what we say today can make the change, a future change. And that is why it's so important that we also continue to do as what we've been doing on the radio show, with our panel, what we've been doing with the panel, bringing people to, you know, together, and so people can call in and get involved with us. That's what we say, become more proactive. Time for sitting on the fences, time for wagging fingers is over. Time to become proactive, and if you are not a part of the EDL at this moment, why are you not? Join with us. Become a part of this great organisation.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I'd like to second that, what Jeff said, and always remember, you know, that great oaks come from little acorns, and you might think that your word and your deeds today have no effect, but they do. They can have far-reaching implications, and if you feel strongly enough about things in the way that we in the EDL do, then you can have an effect which is, as a group, is disproportionately much greater than what we can, you know, do as an individual. But the ideas that we have start as ideas in the minds of individuals, and then they find that you find they resonate in the minds of people in the group and far beyond. So never give up hope.
It's like a knock-on effect. Tim, you know, when you speak to someone, you know, conversations that you have when you say you're in the street, you know, when I'm in town and I'm talking to people, you always leave, you know, an afterthought with people. We've been discussing that. You know that they're going to walk away and they're going to have the thoughts in their mind what you've been discussing. And that's what, I love the conversations. I have some people, you know, that they want to know more about what we're doing and wait what to do themselves, you know, and things like that. And I, you know, I walk away and I feel satisfied that people are really woken up now. This is what I'm finding. People are aware and want to do something. They're wanting to become more involved. And that's what I always give them a card. I've got a card for the radio show. I said, tune in, listen to what we say, and if you like what we do and you want to become involved, then please do. We have a mission statement you can check over. I always say that. Just check our mission statement. If you like what you see and you want to become more proactive, you don't like what you've been seeing in your neighbourhoods, well, become a part of this great organisation. Or just be something like that. You know, even form your own sort of, you know, things yourself, your own groups. But the EDL is the way forward. You know, we as a collective people can make the changes.
Also, can I just tell something a bit humorous that happened today? As you all know, I was on that documentary, Quitting the English Defence League, which was meant to be called When Tommy Snow. I was at lunchtime today at work. I thought, do you know what, I'll go down to Greg's and get myself some sausage rolls. So I sat outside eating them. And two old dears, probably in their 80s, walked past and went, oh, you was in that documentary the other day and all that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that was me. And one of them just turns around and says, oh, can I have a picture with you to show me grandchildren?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is what it's all about, isn't it? It just goes to show you. I mean, what you said that I've got to admit that I was quite impressed with you, Tom, on that documentary. You made your point, and it was out there. And that was the most important thing. That was great. I think you've done a great job that day with the T-shirt that you had on. And basically, you had them flummoxed, Tom. I think that's the way I look. Would you not say that, Tim? They was flummoxed. They just didn't know. I had to come back at you on that.
I thought
UIF were very upset seeing me on there. The amount of death threats I got from Twitter and Facebook and on my phone was unbelievable the day after.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, death threats, they all add to your street credibility, mate. I get them every day. I wouldn't worry.
Like I said, if you're not getting death threats, you're not doing it properly.
You're not doing it right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I definitely second that, Tommy. Definitely.
Yeah, and I've had that. I've had them actually when I've been doing.
Are those death threats from the UAF?
Not the ones I get. No.
Oh, no. So.
No, I get common or garden death threats from Muslims for what I write on Twitter. I'm gonna publish a book with them in one of these days because some of them are just really hilarious. But I won't go into it now. But you know, when you get things like that, you know you're on the right track.
The people I work with, they've got me on Twitter and they was having a look at it and they actually started giving me some. They kept saying to me, I'm gonna shut your hand in the door. I'm gonna log you off your computer when you're not looking. Just winding up these people who were giving me all these threats. Oh, it was so funny. It's like, what was it? Oh, I'm going to put an extra sugar in your cup of tea tomorrow morning, yeah. Mystery.
I'm going to log you off your computer. I mean, it hasn't quite got sort of ring of the death threats you know, you think that a prominent member of the EDL ought to get. You know, you could at least ask them to up the ante a bit.
I'm going to put an extra sugar in your cup of tea for us. Contract
that
diabetes.
A bit violent, wasn't it? I would take countermeasures against that, Tom. People threatening to put sugar in my tea. How dare they?
Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of thing you might get as a death threat in Hampstead Heath Library or something like that, you know. you want a better quality death threat. If you're in the EDL, you've got to insist on better quality death threats. What do we want?
Yes.
Better quality death threats. When do we want better?
Well, you know, I could imagine an SWP demo doing that. What do we want? Better quality death threats. When do we want them? As soon as it's okay for the guy who's giving them to us.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
Abby has finished, please. Or something like that.
We laugh about it, but there is a serious aspect. I mean, as we know, there has been some attempts on you know, our organisation by these groups of these car animals who was going to try to blow some of our members up at Dewsbury. So even though we can smile and that, we must realise there is a serious aspect that they do not like, and they would do anything to try to take us out of the beach. But it will never happen. All they would do, if they done that, I think that this nation would really rise up. That's all I'm going to say. If anything like that, an attempt, you know, a lot of people got hurt or killed, whatever, with these car animals, you know, what we see in Boston, you know, these people, you know, setting bombs off, killing people. I think if that sort of thing happened again in our nation, I do believe the people of this country will say, this is the line that we see what happened with poor Lee Rigby, you know, and people you know, actually they was well within their cells, you know, they that nothing really got out of hand. But if anything did, say, you know, there was an EDL demonstration and they actually got lucky, and something like that happened, I would say to anybody out there who's thinking that they could do that and we would go away, all you would do is make us more determined to carry on the fight.
Well, the
not making no threat, but this will be...
If there is something I would like to end the show on, actually, it's a quote from somebody who is a politician and who's someone who actually my Member of Parliament for my local area. And this is John Prescott, and he's gone on record as to saying there is nothing more dangerous than English patriotism.
Well, it
that's,
just goes to show you...
That's a theme you often hear, isn't it?
The calibre of the
politician.
And
when was that made? When was that... when was that made, that statement, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's something I saw on one of Citizen Steve's videos. He wrote a song about him.
All right, okay.
I don't actually know. When he
because
said,
you're
I
a patriot.
I think it was 2007 or something, I think he said it.
All right, okay. Well, the only thing I'd like to add to what Jeff was saying is that, yes, I think if ever there was a serious loss of life as a result of an attack by Muslims on members of the public or members of the EDL, there would certainly be they're always talking about the Muslim backlash that happens whenever Muslims commit atrocities. The very first thing they do is go crying to the police, complaining that there's going to be a Muslim backlash. It never materializes because we're very tolerant people. But sooner or later, if they keep pushing the envelope, then they are going to get the backlash that they want. And all I would say is, in light of that, if you do get involved with any of these demonstrations, I know we've got one coming up at Wakefield tomorrow, take great care of your personal safety, okay? Don't take any chances. Make sure you're aware of what is around you and what is going on and who is nearby. And if you feel uncomfortable in any situation, try and extract yourself from it rather than run the risk of personal injury. That would be
what
I would say on that.
And the thing is basically elaborate on what Tim said, we stand stronger than the Berlin Wall, we do, because we don't crack and we don't come down. We stand shoulder to shoulder. Even if I don't know anybody in EDL, if I see someone in trouble, I will jump in and help them. And they do the same for me, and I will do the same for them.
And that's what it's all about. I'm going to say, guys, we've got
about
3 minutes. Okay, we've got 3 minutes, Tommy. Have a great demo, and I'll probably be in touch with you tomorrow sometime. I'll give you a call, Sam, okay?
Is Sue still here?
Sorry?
Is Sue still here?
Yes.
Right, I was going to say, I'll put it on my phone, I'll tweet pictures as and when, so Tim and Sue and everybody else,
yep, that'll be great.
And everybody else, I'll send you so you can let Sally know what's going on.
Tommy, we've got 90 seconds. I've got to thank Sue and Tim. And as I say, we'll be back again this Sunday with Glenn Sapp, who's got an important message for everybody. So with that, for myself, Jeff, Tim, Tommy, Sue and Michael, good night, take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and not forgetting from us all, no surrender,
no surrender ever.
And we've got 60 seconds and we're going underground right now. Good night, guys.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys again. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course I don't mind. My New Zealand friends was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. I'm going underground, so we won't. What is the prospect for you? That's the power.
enough already on my plate. People might need some attention to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your facts. So here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your time. And the lies will go down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
There you go. We're once again into the archive section part of our show. And we've got Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton. We've also got Mr. Michael Green. Oh, yeah, we've got meow! Michael Green. Welcome back, Michael. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. I've also, just before we maybe continue, I'm not going to go too long tonight, guys, because it wouldn't happen early night tonight. But what I was going to say is I missed in the roll call Vito Espirito from the Radio Jihad Network, and I missed him because my screen froze onto me the last month when I was running down the list. So a big wave to you and a salute to you, Vito. Thank you for being here this evening. It's always a pleasure to see great friends in the chat room, isn't it, guys? So with that, I'll pass it back to you, Tim and Michael. We was discussing some really everybody was saying what great issues that we discussed tonight. I think everybody was you know, really got quite involved with some of the things, and I think what we done was we covered so many issues, which we do on all, most of the shows. We do that, which makes the East Anglian's EDL radio show very popular, because we do expand. As I say, a later date, I know Tim himself will be doing his own radio shows, which he'll be sort of doing the extra side of what we discuss on our shows, and it should be very interesting, complementing each other as what we
that's the idea. Yeah, the idea is that the freedom loving infidel show is going to complement what we do. I'm not going to try and duplicate the things that the great things that are done on the EDL show, but it'll be complimentary in that there'll be hopefully some background information which will be presented in an informative and entertaining way. That's the theory.
Yes.
So
in
we'll
your
see how it turns
style,
out.
Yeah, that's
right.
Everybody's
own,
got to,
well.
Which I really
right.
like. I don't know about
like
you,
it.
Michael,
you like
and Sue, but Tim's got his own style, which I do. Me and Tim's gelled very well, weren't we? You know, we've only known each other too long. But we've got a same sense of humour with things.
Yeah, definitely. But, it'll be complimentary. So things like, I mean, there are things like we were talking about the other day about how did we get to where we are today with some of these issues, and I do refer back sometimes to the concepts of political correctness and multiculturalism and how those concepts originated. Now, that's not necessarily a particular subject that you might want to go into in great detail on the EDL show itself, but nevertheless, it is a value to people who want to be able to talk about the larger issues, and maybe if somebody might be, I don't know, in some social situation, or one of their colleagues might say, well, how did we get to where we are today? And it's not enough to say, well, it all started when these Muslims came in, because it didn't.
Exactly.
It actually all started quite a long time before. There's an argument to say it started nearly 40 or 50 years before that. And the way in which those things developed are things that I would like to explore on the show that I do. Whether or not I'll get an audience...
Crept up on us like cancer, isn't it, political correctness?
It has. And the trick is trying to explain it to people in terms where they're not going to fall asleep when you're halfway through the argument. And I think I've got a fighting chance of explaining some of these issues without people falling asleep on me, just through
the
way
that I
do it.
Well, I think there's something that we do. When we do the shows, is what we know... I don't think people fall asleep. I think it wakes people up.
I think, with the
reverberations that we've had from the shows, people speak about, it was really interesting, and it just keeps people on their toes. And I think that we make it entertaining. We're not seasoned presenters or anything like that. We don't work to scripts and this, that, and the other. We just speak the way it is. And I think that makes it so refreshing for people to listen to. And I do mean on the global back, because people listen to us all over the world, don't they?
I get a very strong sense that what we do resonates around the world. And it's not just the message, it's the way in which the message is presented. And that's equally important. And I think that between us, we do a good job, and all the feedback I get from the people that I talk to is invariably positive feedback. I've never had anybody come back to me and say... When I first started, I thought I would get a lot of negative feedback because of the nature of the topic, and B, because I wasn't really convinced that I was necessarily a good radio presenter. But I've been quite pleasantly surprised in both cases. And every time I talk to other people who run radio shows around the world, such as Kel in Canada, Mike Holt in Australia, and all the guests and so on that I get to speak to, they are invariably positive about the whole thing. And that just makes me think that we are definitely on the right track.
Well, I've always thought that. I mean, that we... Well, we can't do anything worse than what we've seen governments done to our nations and our countries over the time. And what we're doing is putting our foot down and saying, you know what, this is wrong, and we are not going to put up with this no more. We ain't taking this no more. And that is what we've been doing. And as I say, a lot of people have now taken notice of what we've been saying. And they had done for quite a while, but they was a little bit on the sidelines, didn't want to get too involved. But now people, as we all know, it's just been an amazing journey. The way that some people would look at you and think, oh, my God, he's a part of the EDL. They'd had that sort of impression. But no, they want to come up and talk to you. That's what I've noticed, the actual transformation over the time, that people want to speak openly about these issues.
It does take somebody to stand up and say, this is wrong. And once one person does that, you'd be surprised how many people get behind you. And that's what's happening. Yeah. I think Michael
it's
just wanted
when you
to
throw a pebble into a pond, you get the ripple effect. That's exactly what we've had.
Michael, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I want to make a comment. I mean, we all know that Western civilization is under attack. It's an ideological attack primarily. The actual physical combat and war is it's not necessarily the big threat, because they're not going to overtake and take America or the UK down by weapons of war.
Mm.
They're going to do it through stealth jihad.
Stealth.
And as I said on the program, I think there needs to be a specific emphasis and focus on what's going on in public schools, because, you know, when you target young children, which is the next generation, and you poison their mind completely,
yes,
you're setting up for a really massive wave of Islamic indoctrination and acceptance of Islam. And, you know, that will open all the other doors that the Muslim fascists hope to have opened in
yes,
their favor.
Yes, compliance, isn't it? That's
yeah, yeah, it's really a key, it's a key battleground to address here in America and definitely in the UK. But unfortunately, I read an article.
It seems like you got your finger on the pulse, though, Mark. I've got to admit, when we have the conversation with you, you definitely got your finger on the pulse. You know how serious the issues that we have before us. And that is great. And other people like yourself, many other people as yourself, are now sort of can see the threat is a credible threat. It is looming upon us all. You know, what we've got today is, you know, you see it in Dearborn, don't you? You see people being stoned, the pastor, you know, Reuben Israel and his group was stoned by Muslims. In can you believe it? An American town and city.
Right, and
this
in
actually
addition,
happened.
Sure. These Christians were arrested for passing out Bible tracts within a certain proximity to a so-called Muslim/Arab festival. That's what happens once they get concentrated numbers in communities, in enclaves.
Yes, Michael.
Then the true face of Islam is presented. And then the problem is the authorities, more so in the UK than in America right now, side with the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep,
it's
yep.
just astounding.
It's madness, isn't it, Michael?
It's treasonous on the
yes.
part of those people, whether they're government officials or members of the police or law enforcement. It's really an act of treason, I believe. You know, it's not going to necessarily
yes.
be addressed that way at this time, but that's what it is. Hey, look, in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, a place that has scores of Somali Muslims, they just said that at a YMCA, that young Muslim girls will have their own private swimming classes.
This is a similar
oh, yeah.
thing that they were trying to do over here, wasn't they, Tim?
Well, because, you know, they can't get into
yep.
the pool with infidels because we're unclean. We might contaminate the water.
Exactly.
So they
yeah,
need
crazy.
Their own private swim classes,
well,
these savages.
Basically, it comes down to apartheid, doesn't it? It's all the things that we fought so hard against. Is that these Muslims are trying to introduce apartheid themselves, which is absolutely baffling that, you know, people in power are allowing it to happen and helping them.
Well,
they're sort of, you know, complying with these groups of people, which is so wrong.
Yeah, what
yeah.
They're the enablers. They are the enablers
yes.
of the Muslim fascists to help facilitate, you know, what their agenda is. And, you know, we know what that agenda is. And we have to fight. We will fight and, you know, hopefully get more people to stand up and oppose this, because we're only strong in numbers. You know, there's a lot of complacency,
yes.
like I said, a lot of complacency in America. A lot of people in America are not that they're just ignorant. They don't care. You know,
no.
and it's unfortunate.
Until it hits a man hard in the face, until it comes home to roost, that's
well, maybe
story.
It has to come to their house or their neighborhood, you know. It's got to
yes.
come closer to home for them to understand it and see the real issues here that are, you know, the utmost seriousness that we're facing. Look, at one of these big military hospitals I visit, they actually have a Quran study, you know. Once a week, they have a study of the Quran. They use one of the chapels. Actually, they use the main chapel for a Juma Muslim prayer on Fridays. So that to me is outrageous. It's outrageous that Islam has been allowed to infiltrate that environment because you got all these guys there that are victims of Muslim jihad, you know, from the battlefield, whether they've been blown up by an IED shot or whatnot.
Well, I do believe that it all comes down, and we've often spoke about it. It all comes down to the petrol dollar, is it? The sword is, you know, with the money and the way that they've indoctrinated, you know, the reading, the books that comes into our country. We've seen lots of their books that come through that's in some of these madras schools that we've got in the United Kingdom, which have been exposed on numerous occasions, haven't they, Tim? We've had even who is it, the one who interviewed Tommy Robinson had the headmistress of the school, and he was bringing out these what's been said in the books about pigs and apes, you know, Jews and Christians, and she was trying to sort of say, well, yes, that it's there, but we don't preach that or something. You know, they're trying to fob it over, but we know that this is what they've been trying to do. And, you know, I think actually that school, or one of the schools got closed down. I know that happened, but we know it's quite prominent.
I'm trying to think which school it was, but I remember the article you're talking about quite distinctly. And
it was on Newsnight, wasn't it? She was on Newsnight. Not Newsnight.
What's
her name? Interviewed her. The one who interviewed Tommy Robinson, who didn't do a very good job, because I think Tommy took him to the cleaners a little bit.
Paxman. Not Paxman. Paxman. Oh, okay. But that's what we find is every time that they get caught out in something like that, they'll say, "Oh well, you know, that wasn't the way it was meant, or it's been taken out of context."
That's what they say. It's a great.
You see that all the time. Yeah.
Was that school closed, Jeff? Were those schools shut down?
I think that school. I think that was closed, but I can't be 100% sure. But it was a big hoo-ha about it. I think maybe the books was withdrawn. But I don't know, Tim. Maybe we can do a bit of digging on that. Exactly what happened to that school? If it's still out there. But I heard one of the schools got closed down over one of these reports. What was really bad? You see these clerics with these little kiddies sitting there. Don't you remember, Tim? And he was going around hitting them and kicking them.
That's right. There was that particular instance where a hidden camera was put in the classroom and it captured this Muslim cleric going around this class of little kids. Well, I suppose it must have been, 8 years old? They weren't much older, I don't think.
Between five to about 8 years old, I would say.
Physically assaulting them as part of classroom discipline. He was quite rightly, I think he was arrested for that and charged.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what came of it after that or what happened to the school itself, but I got a feeling that was the one that was
closed down, Tim. But maybe we do a little bit of digging on that, because I'd like to...
Somebody will have an answer to that one, but that was that was quite an eye-opener, that was.
It's interesting how the media might report these stories, but there's never any follow-up to see what the outcome. In America, in Ohio, a bunch of kids were being chained to a wall. I shared that on the air, you know, beaten with sticks. Physically abused by these savages. And, you know, you wonder at the end of the day, weeks or months later, was that facility shut down or is it still happening?
Yeah, but I mean, this is really where groups like the EDL and the equivalent groups in different Western countries can play such a major part, because obviously the mainstream media will be complicit in trying to push these stories under the carpet. And even if you get some exposure, like in those examples that you showed, within a week or two, if mainstream media interest dies down, who is going to keep that story alive if not the EDL or the equivalent groups in the different Western countries? That should be part of our job to keep these stories alive.
Yeah, I always look at it this way, that we you know, ourselves, and I've often spoke about it, is we are, you know, registered as a human rights organisation. This is it. I mean, and these are things against human rights and what we go up against all the time. So it's only right that we're the English Defence League, and but at the same time, we are a human rights organisation, and we do, you know, follow up any case or anything like that. That's the reason why we do demonstration. We could do a lot of demonstrations because it's a human rights violation, things like that. Things is wrong that's in our thing, that we put pressure on politicians to look into it, to stop some of the horrific things that goes on, these female genital mutilation sort of thing, which is, how many cases were there? It seemed to say like about 60,000 cases.
There were certainly in the thousands, if not tens of thousands, and yet how many prosecutions have we had? That's the main thing.
One.
And I don't suppose we know how that one's progressing, but the point is that things like that are being swept under the carpet in the name of cultural sensitivity. And like I was saying on the show, I don't know if it was the last show or the one before, if we just stopped putting cultural sensitivity at the top of our list of priorities and started to put, say, common sense and national security at the top of the list and make cultural sensitivity one of the lowest priorities, we would start getting back to some common sense policies.
I agree.
We're a little way to go, obviously, before we get there, but I think we have to keep on showing people that the priorities that the government and the politicians and the mainstream media would have us put on things are quite the wrong priorities, and we ought to be setting different priorities altogether.
Well, what can I say? I 100% agree with what you just said there, Tim. I was going to say, we haven't, Sue's been a bit quiet for a little while, so I was wondering if you'd like to come in and discuss with some of the things we've been talking about. So, don't like to see you sitting there. And
just real briefly, I'm just enjoying listening to you gentlemen talk. That I was thinking a few things maybe the EDL could do. I don't know if your school councils, are they elected?
This was one of the things, when we had the break, just after we started talking about this topic, Sue, I went to ask somebody who knows more about these things than me, and apparently once you go above headmaster or headmistress level, the next level up is not necessarily the local council, it's what they call the governing body, the school board of governors, and that's something that we need to be looking into for the particular topic we're talking about. Maybe a similar structure over in the United States, I'm not sure, but here we have the teachers in the school, above them the board of the governors, and then beyond that you get council and ministerial levels, but the board of governors may well have had something to do with this particular issue, and I personally intend to find out a bit more about it, but I would think that some sort of similar structure is in place in the States. Would I be right in saying that?
Well, happening... I'm sorry, go ahead, Sue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
What's happening in America, it's really an individual case-by-case basis. There's been instances in Texas, in Florida, Tennessee, Ohio. Those are the places that come to mind immediately. There's not a concerted effort. I was actually thinking of having an organization started called Parents Against the Islamization of Public Schools because, you know... When you have something that identifies on parents and they have children, and, you know, children are always an important cause, it might be good to draw more attention and support to it if you kind of set it up with that designated name and then try to set up different chapters throughout maybe the U.S. and then do something similar but within, you know, connection to the EDL because, it's as I said, it's really a separate an important area that needs a designated time and focus on it. There's so many issues that we're facing with Islamic fascism, but to set something up that will kind of exclusively focus on the issue with our schools would, I think, be the way to go.
Yes.
Mm.
You know,
I agree. Go ahead, sorry.
I just want to tell you, I've been kind of thinking about what the EDL could do. If they give prior notification of their meetings like they do in the U.S., would it be possible if what they're studying, what they're talking about is their policies on Islam, could the EDL possibly form a, you know, march either the day before or the day of and try to get parents with you to bring to focus what is happening? And also the other thing, I spend hours doing this. When I know that there is something coming up, it doesn't matter what state, a school board or whatever, and there's a problem with Islamization, I tweet out the telephone number, the email, the fax number of the school board, state board, whatever it is, and people then call in and inundate them with things that they disapprove of this. Tie up their board, basically.
Yeah. What can I say? You know what, Sue? It's like everything on board what you say there. That sounds a very interesting move forward that what we could do, you know, to get the parents involved with us and, you know, to do, you know, march with placards and things like that, you know, to get that that message out. And it's more forward to them because if parents are involved with us as well, it's more of a powerful voice. So I think that's a very good point you made there, Sue, and maybe there'll be discussions and we can maybe put these things together. But as I say, it's something, there is a meeting that's, as I say, in January with all the ROs will be together. And, I mean, all members will be putting things forward the way, you know, different things to move forward with the EDL. And it should be quite interesting. We should have Tim Ablett. We've been in discussions with Tim. Ivan's been talking to Tim. And we could possibly have him on, say, once a month. And he can be given a roundup of things, how it's been going from month to month, which we tried to do with Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll. We didn't quite come to, because they're all busy men, you know, with the media here, there and everywhere. So, but with Tim, I think he's going to give up a, you know, sort of a once a month to come on and to explain a little things and clarify things and show, you know, what we're doing and how we're moving forward. So these things, there's so many issues that we talked about tonight. That, you know, we've got a long list of things that that we could put towards our ROs and to the chairman of the committee. And so, yeah, we've got lots of things to work on. So and we really appreciate all the input that people give us that helps us to move forward as well. So thank you so much for the ideas as well.
Mm.
Well, you're welcome. I just believe in you so much.
No, well, bless you.
Well,
so,
that's nice.
Thank you for your continued support. You know, as I say, and of course to all our listeners out there, we do know we got so many people that supports what we do and who following us because things, you know, they know how important things are and that what we do. It's like a mirror effect that it resonates around the globe, and you know, as like Michael's speaking about, I think yourself, Sue, it's so important to people like yourself, who's on the other side, you know, who's on the other side of the pond, who realizes that these problems are slowly but surely. You've got the Obama regime who's slowly but surely introducing things that was totally alien to your great people, a great nation, say 15, 20 years ago. It would have never happened. But it seems that, see, we live in the times of Orwellian times. I think we've spoke about this before. We do live in Orwellian times, don't we, Tim and Michael?
that things we never believed, say 30 years ago, 35, 40 years ago, that today we'd be speaking about these things, because politicians have allowed things to get away, and it's people like ourselves who's actually speaking out, because, you know, someone has to. We've got to be the people that stand up and say, you can't do this no more. This is wrong. And it's only because of the future generations, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, why are we here now? Because we don't want them to, as we talked about, civil war. We see the things that goes on in Syria and other countries like that. You see great cities being absolutely levelled, and you see it in rubble. You could imagine a time, if things continue the way they are, that we could live in a state like that, couldn't we, Tim? And you could, too.
It's only too easy. I know Michael just wants to jump in there.
I just want to say this quickly. You know, what we see is ethnic cleansing. You know, ethnic cleansing. When Muslims have the numbers and concentration that they hope to get, you know, then Christians, some Jews, but most Jews are leaving. A lot of Jews are leaving Europe, and we know why, but... yeah, that's what we face. We are not just looking at the ideological, but in the long term, we're looking at the physical aspect of your family members, your wife, your children being raped, of people being killed, beheaded, whatever. So
yeah,
it's
horrific,
stuff,
isn't
sure.
it, Michael?
Yeah, it's
that,
horrific. Yeah,
the way to look at the future, if it continues down that path, will be something I dread. Think what would happen. That is why I think we have still got time, and you know, we've got the manpower to stop these things taking shape, stamp on it, and so that we can move our nations forward and have the great prosperity that we've had in the past before. You know,
we're not going to stand by and have our freedoms taken away without a battle.
No, we're not, Michael, I think Tim agreed. And Sue, we're not going to do
that. Oh,
yeah,
I totally agree, yeah.
You know, it's something that sometimes you've got to stand up and be counted, and I think it's exactly what we're doing right now. When we're talking on the shows, what we do, we're all standing up and be counted. Because we know we could come under sort of a different attacks, whether it's cyber attacks, whether it's physical attacks. It's because what we speak about is resonating, that they are getting quite concerned. That's the reason why a lot of people, you know, find that they've been under a bit of pressure. I haven't had the police breaking down my doors and taking my laptop or anything like that this moment in time. But it could happen. It could happen to you, Tim. It could happen to
Indeed,
Sue. It could
yes.
happen to Michael. You know, it could
yeah,
happen.
Yeah.
Anything is possible with the way these governments are becoming draconian, and they're fascist in themselves. You know, the leftist ideology is a fascist ideology. That's why they seem to get along with the Muslim fascists.
Mm. Yeah, that's so right. I mean, I think we've touched on this before, haven't we, Tim and Michael? We've discussed that
several times.
We will continue to do so, because it's so important that these things that we discuss should be discussed and should be done on a regular basis, because the more we talk about it, the more people twig on and become more involved in what we're doing, that we can make the changes. As I say, we're just coming together, and we have done for quite a number of years now. And as Tim said, I'm an optimist. I'm a born optimist. I do believe that the goodness will always prevail over evil, and this is an evil that we see.
Well, it's certainly a fight that we can't leave to others. It's something
we've
got to do ourselves, and we are in a war the like of which we have never seen before. If you look back to what people traditionally thought about war? Well, it was men putting on uniforms, going off to fight in a foreign country, picking up a gun and shooting the guy in front of them. But the war we're in is not like that, but it's equally as important that we win it and recognize that it is there, and that it is at least as evil and as powerful in its own way. That our adversary is as powerful in their own way as, I use the example of Nazi Germany, because that's probably the biggest analogy that I can find that closely resembles the ideology that we're fighting at the moment, which is why I refer to it so much. Even though it's a war that's fought in a different way, it's equally as important.
And the reason spiritual war as well. We mustn't forget the spiritual aspect as well.
That is certainly true. The way I explain it first and foremost is that it's an ideological battle, as Michael said. But the reason it's so important is because our ideology, based as it is on Judeo-Christian civilization and Judeo-Christian values, is immeasurably superior to anything that Islam has to offer now or is likely to have to offer in the future. And you can argue till you're blue in the teeth about the spiritual side of that discussion, but when you're talking about what is the best framework that you could have for humanity to operate within for the advancement of future generations of humanity, I don't think anybody could possibly say that Islam has got more to offer than what we have. Islam will drag us back to the 7th century and keep us there for 1,000 years. And
yes, it's a backward ideology, isn't it?
It's not
a forward-moving ideology, is it? It's a backward. It's stuck in the 6th century, 7th century, and that is where it would continue to be. It's never going to progress. It's always going to stay as it is. People refuse to sort of update the Quran, to come into line with the 21st century. They want to be stuck on the sixth century, and that's it. And that's the problem we got. 21st century meets 6th century ideology. And there is this clash of civilizations. I would say that is the case as well. People don't want to. They try to get away from it. But that is the case. It is a clash of civilizations. So 21st century ideology, Western moving forward ideology against backwards, not wanting to go nowhere, just bringing everybody down, barbaricness, absolutely despicable acts. Mm.
Well, when you start talking about comparisons like that, I mean, a lot of people will say to me, but Islam has got so much to offer, and I have to just say, well, hold on, let me just stop you there, okay? Yeah. And you say, well, let's say, how would you measure the effects of the ideologies in what they physically represent when you look at the various communities, and you look at health and education, in particular infant mortality and the ability of girls to go to school in an unimpeded way, the way we have over in Western countries. I mean, health and education are just two things, but you could take pretty much every measurable every measure of how you measure a society to be successful, and the societies that are based on Judeo-Christian values are far and away superior on
of course
measure,
they are.
In measurable terms, because you can argue, you can say
it's
all
no comparison, is it? No comparison. Islam's got to offer the world.
If you were talking about a purely spiritual thing, then you could argue back and forth, and you probably never get anywhere. And in the end, the spiritual side of things, the purely religious side of things, as far as Islam is concerned, is of no interest to non-Muslims at all. If Muslims want to believe in a particular deity and pray to that deity 5 times a day in the privacy of their own homes and not bother anybody else, that should be up to them. But in the same way that we managed to successfully separate the political and the spiritual with Shinto after the Second World War in Japan, it was imposed on the Japanese. They were allowed to practice the religious aspect of their belief system, but they were not allowed to have any input with Shinto in the public sphere. Now, that's going to be a much, much bigger job to try and implement that in the battle that we have to come, but nevertheless, we should keep on our eyes on that as a goal. If people
just in case we get tipped out of
I'm going on again.
You know, and it does happen. I know I've been finishing things before. And before you know it, it's just switched itself off. So I'd like to thank yourself, Tim, being a great part of the show this evening, co-hosting with me this evening with Tommy English. I've got to thank Mr. Michael Green. Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure to take your call and have you on a part of the panel as well. And Sue, thank you very much for your call this evening as well. And some of the things that we've been discussing are very, very interesting, and something I can probably be talking to Ivan about, actually, because some really important things that you was discussing there. So there's lots. I will do this again anyway. We've got a show coming up this Sunday, which I hope everybody tunes into. It's going to be a very interesting show. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. It's Glenn Seffer, one of our ROs. Something so important that he wants to come onto the show and to put this message out there to all our listeners and that. So thank you all so much for your time tonight. Michael, once again, great to have you here on the panel as usual, and so you and Tim, absolutely awesome as usual. You always crack me up. How the hell are you?
One tries one's best.
Thank you, Tim. And as I say, what I'm going to do, I've also got to give a thoughts. I always like the last bit of the evening. I always want to make a mention to all our serving military who's serving out in Afghanistan. All our boys and girls, wherever they might be in Afghanistan. We do know that. I was told that they do listen to the shows, Tim. So I salute you all. Thank you for your great work you do.
Yes,
sacrifices.
Amen to that.
Yeah, definitely.
All our allies together.
And by the way, a quick footnote. I didn't mean to cut you off, but the so-called president Hussein Obama has now decided to keep American forces in Afghanistan past the 2014 deadline. I don't know how that affects British forces, but unfortunately and tragically, our soldiers and Marines will remain in Afghanistan.
Thank you for the update on that, Michael. And it's quite obvious that if that's the case, I'm sure that Obama had been in talks with Cameron, that we probably will have a force as well. That's the normal case, isn't it, with these situations? But thank you very much for that update, Mark. Maybe we'll expand on these things on another night, but I better close the show out this evening. But I'm going to end on, as I say, Mr. Martin Hiver, it's an EDL radio commercial. So once again, we'll be back again this Sunday. I hope everybody's been listening to shows, enjoyed the show this evening, and find it enlightening. And if there's something that you want to talk about, you've got a number to call in on the show, one of our next shows. So there you go. Thank you, guys. Take care. Stay safe. And with that, EDL radio commercial by Martin Eiffel. Good night, guys. God bless you all.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Mike. Good night. Good night.
If you are sick, and tired of listening to the lies you hear from politicians and the mainstream media about Islam, and you want to hear the truth about the crimes that are committed in its name in your country and all around the world, then please tune in to the East Anglian EDL radio show on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 GMT and 3:30 EDT. For analysis, updates and news about Islam without any of the lies and political correctness that you hear in the mainstream media, and for updates, news and information about the English Defence League, then come and join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to all our previous broadcasts at any time by visiting the East Anglian EDL Radio Show archive. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show, the official radio show of the English Defence League.